Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Muddy Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 7th of May, and I am recording at 10.07, 10.08 p.m. here, and that is British Summer Time here in London. Now, I delayed the audio a little bit because I just wanted to see the exit polls that were coming out. That's only relevant to UK voters, residents, citizens, such as myself, although you may well be interested in this if you follow the UK reasonably closely. But here it is. I'm just reading off the screen here from Bloomberg, saying Tories projected to win the most seats in the UK election exit poll. But here's the surprise. The Conservatives are projected to win 316 of 650 seats. Now, that is 10 short of an overall majority, but 316, I believe they were 306 in the last election, so this would be a big surprise, and there'd be euphoria among the Conservatives. Labour is shown to, again, these are only exit polls, but they have been accurate in the past. But Labour, they're saying, would have 239 seats. Now, that is, if I calculate quickly, correctly in my head, that would give the Conservatives 77 seats more than Labour. Now, in that event, I think it's inconceivable that Labour, so far behind, could actually form a government with the help of the SNP, which is, well, they wouldn't be able to do it because the SNP is forecast by this exit poll as having 58 seats. Interesting. So where would the UK get the extra 10 seats needed? Well, the exit poll says that the Liberal Democrats will get 10 seats, UK Independence Party 2 seats. So, well, if this is correct, I'm delighted, and enough said. Let me get on to the markets now here, and I'll just put up the screen on that. It's been another, well, very nervous day of selling pressure here in the Asian markets. They were all lower as I look at the screen. It doesn't show every single one, but certainly shows all the important ones. Shows 18, as a matter of fact. Now, let's take them individually. Japan beginning to get a little bit overextended, but again, this needs a clear upward dynamic to clear the air. Down 1.23% on the Nikkei 225. I think if my view is if Japan goes lower, and then when we actually do, that would be better, and then when we actually do see an upward dynamic, that would be very, very, very interesting. Again, this is a market benefiting from QE and clearly in a secular bull market trend, and that QE is going to continue for a long time. Now, China is the more dramatic one and got clipped again here. Not quite so hard as in recent days, but it's still significant. For instance, the Hang Seng Index, Hong Kong, out of Hong Kong, down 1.27%. So this obviously still in retreat. Shanghai Composite has fallen sharply, down 2.77%. So this has come rattling down in the last 4 or 5 days. And the Hong Kong Enterprise Index is down 1.64. So it's too soon, really, to say that we've got a true oversold condition here. And again, the important point to mention is that a clear upward dynamic would be required here to indicate that we had at least reached a short-term, more likely medium-term bottom. India fraction, well, now just under half a percentage point lower here. India's the most overextended on the downside. That is oversold. We have had a correction of a little over 10%. And that's the most interesting one at these levels, or on this day at any rate, I actually feel. And the others again, all lower, as I mentioned earlier. Thailand getting one of the bigger declines at 1.42%. Well, what about Europe? Europe picked up here a little bit. It was lower early on, following that European or pre-markets. Really, Europe was, and the early trading was quite soft, but it picked up. German DAX index, one of the better moves, sets up just over half a percentage point, and Italian MIB up 4/5 of a point. But here's the thing: you've still got all this Grexit uncertainty, although people must be getting a little bit desensitized by that at this stage overall. Europe, again, the message is we need a clear upward dynamics to indicate that demand is returning beyond a little bit of short covering or a modest rally. Wall Street, not too bad, but we're talking about on average here among the indices, half a percentage point to the upside after some pre-market weakness. Now, remember, I mentioned last night that it was only 8 days since a number of new highs, not least by the S&P and the NASDAQ indices. Well, that makes 9 days since those new highs, still within the overall upward trends for the most part, although utilities among the various different indices are slightly below that 200-day rising 200-day moving average. But Wall Street's the one that's going to be most influential here by far. And best I can say is that it has not broken down, and that's, well, that's not bad news at all, is it? But again, nervous environment here, and it's too soon to say that this is just another normal correction because there are a number of factors that are playing on nerves. One has been the previous dollar strength. The other has been the oil factor and how that's weakened the U.S. economy a little bit as well. And then there's been the rise in bonds. Well, let's move on to those. And although I'll take it through the normal sequence here, I'll look just first at currencies. Dollar steadied here a little bit today. And sterling's had a pop on the upside here following those exit polls, not surprisingly. That's up to 1.5368 as I speak. Still moving up. And it had been, is that right? It had been down. Yes, it had been. It was at 1.5244 shortly before that exit poll. So sterling clearly benefiting in here, being influenced by that. And let's see, the euro is a little easier against the dollar, 1.1265. But so modest rally by the by the dollar index, I should say, but it again, it's only retraced about half of yesterday's decline. The best news, I think, for the global economy would be if the U.S. dollar just ranged in an orderly fashion, somewhat lower. I think that's certainly what the Fed would like to see, and then that would open the door for them to raise interest rates a little bit. In the third quarter, by a little bit, quarter of a point. But the rates that are going up faster than that, or have been until today, were the bond yields. And this is really interesting here because the 10-year U.S. Treasury that soared early in the day. It was about 10 10 a.m. UK time, it reached 2.31% nearly, and but it did close down well off that high at 2.18. Up at 2.31, it had clearly moved above the March high, as we had also seen for the 30-year bonds, U.S. bonds, yesterday. But again, as I say, closed at 2.18. Well, that suggests to me that we're starting a little bit of a consolidation in here with these bonds. But get things in perspective here. While we've had some hysterical forecasts on Wall Street and some of the other stock markets, that the real bubble unquestionably has got to be government bonds. And they're described as the safest investment generally, and a whole lot of money has been moving into them on that basis. But, you know, at these low yields, you'd have to have a permanent global slump here to justify this as a holder, in my opinion. So I think there's money to be lost there. If the yields shoot up rapidly, obviously bond investors would be hammered. That might unnerve stock market investors for a while, but it would also thereafter it would be bullish, because you would get a little bit of a shift, not massive, a little bit of a shift from money out of government bonds and into the stock market. That's the normal way these things move, and bond yields would have to go up significantly so that they were yielding more on the 10-year, for instance, than you were getting on a lot of your big multinational companies, and you know, many of which are yielding 3-4% and sometimes more. So I think with the stock market, we couldn't rule out a 10% plus correction in here by Wall Street over the next few months. We certainly couldn't rule that out, but we're not going to get a bear market. That's my view. Interest rates in terms of Fed monetary policy, interest rates still far too low for that, plus the QE that we're getting from Europe. But where will the best opportunities be? I think it'll be Japan and Europe and China after we get a little bit further reaction to correct this quite overbought short-term condition that we had. And also India, which I mentioned earlier on, being really quite oversold. Regarding the rallies in the resources shares, well, it's going to happen. They have such attractive yields. I'm talking about the quality ones, the Rio Tintos and the BHPs. But I think, again, we'll need a little bit more patience on that. I don't think it's going to happen all that quickly, but I do feel that it will definitely happen over the lengthy medium term. Okay, and commodity markets. Well, metals weaker in here today. Certainly the precious metals are all lower. Palladium down 11.5 to 781. Silver down 18 cents to 1632. And platinum down over $10 to $11.32. Gold down 7.5 to $11.84, and change. Now, I've got to repeat this. You know, I'd love to be a gold and silver bull, but I don't see it in the patterns. I don't see it in the competition that they're getting from stock markets, And still from Bonds, although that might change if Bonds we can when Bonds weaken a bit further. My guess is that these precious metals are lengthy, medium-term recovery candidates, not so much short-term. Now, what about oil? Here, very important. It looks like that good rally that we've seen has. Well, it's certainly been checked for at least the short term. We've got the Brent is down $2.12. That's brought it back to 65.65, and the WTI is down 191, and that's at 59.02. So downward dynamics, checking what was a somewhat extended rally. So just to repeat that point, a top of at least near-term significance. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.